You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a pressure-packed Thursday throwdown. Can Mitch ditch the struggles and save his job for the Steelers against their arch rivals on the road? Meanwhile, a public service announcement. If you are in the Tampa area and can catch a football, please report to Bucs camp. Tom Brady needs you. And will the Fish prove they can swim with anybody on Sunday? And if they do, are they the team to beat in the wild AFC race? We have all that and a whole lot more as we get up with you starting right now. The squad is ready on this Thursday. Minko is fired up. Bart Scott is ready to go. D. Wood is ready to go. But most important of all, we have Diana Russini with us today. And I say that for a very specific reason, because it was 1 week ago today on this program that Diana said this.
I think that the New York Jets are going to beat the Cleveland Browns on the road with Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback.
So as far as I'm concerned, Diana can say anything. There we go. It only took 6 years, but Diana got a bold prediction right on Get Up. And it was the most important one. It was the best one. Okay, let's roll. So we got bold predictions for this week to start things off. And Diana, I give you first shot at it. What do you got?
Mike, I'm going to stay in New York. I've got the New York Giants beating the Dallas Cowboys, which would mean that the New York Giants will go the month of September undefeated, something they haven't done since 2009. I'm giving the nod to New York on Monday Night Football.
I love it. D. Wood, give me a bold prediction for week number three.
Yeah, how about the Detroit Lions? Seems like people aren't talking about them boys enough. Detroit Lions beat their division rivals in the Minnesota Vikings. This dude right here, Amon-Ra St. Brown, is a baller. Like, more people need to be talking about him. Detroit, 2-1 after 3 weeks.
He is special. Bart, who you got?
I think the Nathaniel Hackett experiment is a failed experiment, and I think the Broncos are going to get embarrassed by Jimmy G and the 49ers. The 49ers have their leader back, and the odds of them winning the Super Bowl should go up exponentially. Russ will get booed, and so will Nathaniel Hackett.
Tough start for the Broncos. Nico, give me a bold prediction.
And I'm all in with Bart on this one. I think Jimmy G is going to throw for 3 touchdowns against the Broncos. That's right, 3 touchdowns. Everybody, don't panic. Jimmy G's here. They're going to be fine. They're going to be in the playoffs. They might win a Super Bowl. Guess what, Jimmy G? He's your quarterback.
He'll throw for 3 touchdowns. And even if he only throws for 2, he's so handsome, we'll count it as 3. Okay, those are the bold predictions. And it all begins tonight with the old rivals, the Steelers and the Browns on Thursday Night Football. On the big storyline, will this be Mitch Trubisky's final stand? Our football power index likes Cleveland, but slightly. The Browns, a 54% chance to win. That equates to just a 1-point favorite. But, of course, all the questions are about the starting quarterback. Diana, what can you tell us about how long the leash is for Mitch Trubisky with the rookie sitting in wait?
Yeah, Greeny, I need you to pump the brakes a little bit on changing at the quarterback position. As long as Mitchell Trubisky takes care of the football and makes sure those decisions he makes is in the category of positive, the leash is going to be long for him. As quick as we want to perhaps see the potential of a young rookie quarterback step in, because it is exciting and I'm hearing great things about him. I have for months on the field, off the field. The sense I get from the Pittsburgh Steelers after having conversations with them for weeks now is they are fine with Mitchell Trubisky and what he's able to do at this point.
All right, so look, the fans are chanting Kenny, Kenny, Kenny. But you don't get to be the Steelers with all their consistency and Tomlin with all his winning if you listen to the fans. Yep. So I get that part of it. Diana is saying they're going to be patient. Bart, is that the right strategy?
If he struggles, I think you got to make a change. When you look at
this fast, we're talking about struggles tonight. They get a mini bye, like a little, 10 days off, then they play the Jets. Would you make the change that fast?
Yes, because when you look at it, the dynamic is changing, right? You start hearing Chase Claypool starting to complain, talk about not getting explosive plays. Listen, Kenny Pickett isn't some spring chicken. This guy is like 24 years old. He's one of the oldest quarterbacks. He was older than all the quarterbacks drafted last year, right? So I think he's an experienced guy. He's been in the moment. You know, he's experienced. He played a lot of games in college. You know, and you can't lose the locker room. And it sounds like they're starting to lose the locker room, and the locker room's starting to lose faith in Mitch Trubisky. They may have to make a change to try and generate a spark, because we didn't expect the Pittsburgh Steelers to be in this situation. Everybody in the AFC lost last week, so they're still in good enough position to maybe get a wild card.
Yeah, look, they beat Cincinnati week one. It was a terrible win from an offensive standpoint. And then you obviously watched every snap last week as they played the Patriots. What are you seeing in Trubisky right now?
Well, there's the old saying, no risk it, no biscuit. Or no biscuit, no risk. Whatever.
You had it right the first time. Go ahead.
There you go. You have to take some chances. And you look at this offense, they're just kind of middle of the road. They're not taking any shots down the field. And you have a receiving core that is very talented. And something that's telling to me, when you watch after the play and you see a throw that's made, one of the interceptions last week against the Patriots, there was a receiver on the other side of the field. When he threw the ball, he started jumping up and down and kind of did the jump and spin thing. And when you start to do that, when you see receivers jump up and they're like, ugh, I was open. That's the frustration that you're talking about, Bart. When you have a receiving core that they can get open and they're talented, they are a fast group that can get open, and you have a quarterback that's not taking the chances and not throwing the ball accurately down the field, you start to feel that in the locker room, of that frustration offensively. Hey, we can do this. We just aren't, we're not getting the ball.
So that's how one group might feel about it. But then let's talk about the offensive line, D. Wood, which you know better than anybody. They may have explosive weapons, but if you watch them try to run the ball, they can't. Najee Harris is getting hit in the backfield on every single play. They don't really have time to throw. Can you put a rookie behind that offensive line?
No, like, no. That's the biggest thing. It's like, we talk, it's as much we sit here and talk about Mitchell Trubisky, they have bigger problems than Mitchell Trubisky. Is the offensive line up front. Those guys can't, they can't move my son, okay? They can't move my 10-year-old son right now trying to run block. And that's a big problem for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because the Pittsburgh Steelers, their identity always, always want to be, they want to be, they want to impose their physicality on you. They want to run the football. You've got a first-round pick in Najee Harris in the backfield, and you can't even use him to run the football. So we can sit here and talk about Mitchell Trubisky. That's fine. That's great. Great for television. But the problem is the offensive line. And if you put the rookie in, you can't take him back out.
Right.
What if he struggles? Then what? Where are you at if you're Pittsburgh?
It's the move that you can't unmake. It's the same conversation that we were having in San Francisco. Final word.
I feel like sometimes a young player, when they come in the game, they got nothing to lose. They're just gonna go out here. I'm a young rookie. Oh yeah, throw a couple interceptions. I'm a rookie. It's okay. But at least he's gonna take shots, because you saw him in the preseason. What did he do? He pushed the ball down the field. Made some big plays too.
We'll see. Look, the team. Right now, it looks like they think their way of winning is by playing defense and not making mistakes on the offensive side. It worked week one. They turned Burrow over repeatedly. Yeah. It didn't work week two. We'll see how it works against Jacoby Brissett.
Not the same defense without T.J. Watt. Right? He sets the table, so not without him. So now you got to get more of a balanced attack to try and get W's.
Once again, Diana was right. Next stop is Tampa Bay. Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans. His one-game suspension has been upheld for what happened with him and Marshon Lattimore. You all saw it. He came running off the sideline and smashed into Lattimore right there. Can't do it. Evans will miss the game against the Packers this week. And it looks possible that Chris Godwin and Julio Jones won't play as well. Who's going to catch the ball, Todd Bowles?
Well, we have depth. You know, anytime you lose quite a few guys at one spot, you got to worry a little bit. But we got guys that need to step up and make plays. And we kept them around for a reason. So they just got to go in and perform.
Diana, what? I mean, I opened it up by offering like this plea. Yeah. If you can catch a football and you happen to live in the Tampa St. Pete area, Tom Brady needs you. Who is he going to throw to on Sunday?
Yeah, Todd Bowles has been really consistent with this. Have you noticed anytime there's been a problem with a starter or there's some injuries, what does he always say? Well, we've got lots of depth. Do they have depth that perhaps we don't know about? Because, guys, look at who's available. It's not great, right? So we know Mike Evans is out. Chris Godwin just comes back from this knee injury. Now he's got a hamstring situation that's lingering. I spoke to a source yesterday. It seems like this may be a long shot. Julio Jones, who knows with him? When he's out there and he's healthy, he's fantastic. But he can't stay healthy, so he's not very dependable right now. So what do you do if you're the offense in Tampa Bay right now if you don't have that many pass catchers? Well, you're going to look to your running back, right? You're going to look for Leonard Fournette to perhaps carry a load. But that just seems like a lot for him to do with all these receivers out for Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, he can both run it and catch it a little bit. What do you think about the role that Fournette might play this week against Green Bay?
Hey, strap it up. Put whatever you got to put on your body, because it's going to be one. It's got to be one of those days. Yeah. I mean, look at it. I mean, Diana already pointed out. You know, Mike Evans out for suspension. Chris Godwin, you know, still coming back off the knee. Julio, you don't know with Julio.
Nah.
Where else can you go if you're Tom Brady? It's literally hand the ball off and throw it to Leonard Fournette. Those are really your only options.
You didn't hear they signed Cole Beasley. Stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all hands on deck. I mean, they probably got a help wanted ad out there. But when you think about it, yo, this is a bad matchup because, you know, Tom Brady, his frustration with Scotty Miller last week, he's in the doghouse, but you have to trust him. Rashad Perriman, he's a guy that, but you know that these guys are situational type of receivers. So as a defense, you know how to handle that. So it's going to be on Leonard Fournette. It's going to be one of those, you know, phone booth type of games. You know, don't make any mistakes. Hope that, you know, but you're talking about, you got Aaron Rodgers on the other side.
Right.
So he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And, you know, he doesn't have great receivers either, but he knows, you know, that he's going to have those receivers for the whole year. You knew you couldn't count on Julio Jones before the season started. You saw the frustration with the Saints last week. And Mike Evans tried to make it fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Right. He knew, he thought that he could go and appeal the suspension and maybe he'll be able to play this week until help can happen. This is the fastest I've ever heard of appeal heard, you know, within a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the NFL didn't fall for it. And listen, this is going to be a tough game, and Brady's going to have to pull a rabbit out the hat.
Well, look, I mean, last week they were able to win because they kept the game close and they waited for Jameis to make the big mistake. And he did several times over. To Bart's point, if there's one thing Aaron Rodgers doesn't do, he doesn't throw interceptions. So how does your buddy Brady win this game, Ninko, without any of his favorite weapons?
Defense. The Tampa Bay defense. If the Tampa Bay Bucs can get after Aaron Rodgers with their – they have 10 sacks. They're leading the league in sacks, and they're blitzing the quarterback. They're getting after quarterbacks. So sometimes you're going to have bumps in the road. You're going to have injuries. You're going to have an offense that's wounded.
Yeah.
So you win with your defense. They're playing a Packers team that has an offensive line that we've been saying has question marks across the board. So you have a defense that's playing well. They're getting after the quarterback. I really think – they're going to get through this injury bug. It happens. Sometimes during the season, mid-season, end of the season, you'd rather have it to you happen to you early in the season than late in the season when they're trying to make a playoff.
But Green Bay's defense is just as good. Who are you even going to waste Zaire
Alexander? Defensive battle.
Who are you going to waste Zaire Alexander on? So now that means eight. I'm putting nine in the box. I'm not afraid of whoever's out there on the outside. So
you talk easily.
Listen. Who can handle the blitz better, Brady or Aaron Rodgers, who's more athletic?
I don't know. Play Tom a lot. Did he handle the blitzes okay?
Huh?
Did he handle blitzes okay when you were with the Jets?
Hold on, Hold on, okay.
Can't wait.
But how many people did we got to him though? And the recipe is if he can't go outside, he has to burp the baby. He can't buy time in a pocket like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a guy who can beat you with his feet. Like, so now I'm blitzing all up the middle because you talk about the Tampa offensive line as well. They're beat up and banged up as well. It's not just a problem at the receiver position. They can't protect time either. You saw him last week.
Defensive battle. How about that?
Does seem like what it figures to be. I couldn't even get that out. I'm so surprised by it. That in a game between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, it figures to be the defenses that dominate on Sunday in what could be a critical game down the road in the NFC. All right, as we're getting rolling, here's an offense that's not having any trouble. Does Tua have any tricks left in the bag after last week's incredible comeback? Can he and the Dolphins upset the best team in football? We'll get you there. Plus, a Monday night showdown in New York. Cowboys about to get a big piece of the puzzle back. Is the D in Big D about to stand for dangerous? We'll explain why the answer is yes as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN. Don't look at me like that.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Andor. New episodes streaming Wednesdays only on Disney+.
Call the non-believers.
How did that
happen? Call the non-believers.
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
And every week, Bart Scott tells us the things he can't wait to see this week in the NFL. And the first one starts with your former team, not the Jets, yeah, but the Ravens.
You know, one thing I've learned, Green, is that history is written by the winners. And the winners last week was the Miami Dolphins, who came back with 21 points in the fourth quarter. And I think it overshadowed the great performance of Lamar Action Jackson. Mm-hmm. I think that Baltimore Ravens and that defense is going to be out for retribution. And I'll tell you what's better than a formidable foe in the Patriots? If it was a team with a punchable face, it would be the New England Patriots.
And Lamar, he did have maybe the best game of his career. Speaking then of the Jets, how about them?
Grinny, you're going to like this one. Listen, the Cincinnati Bengals come in reeling. They're trying to figure out how to play cover two. They're a victim of their own success. Teams are playing them in cover two and forcing Joe Burrow to be patient. Joe Flacco, 200-300-yard season. I can't wait to see if Garrett Wilson can match that performance. He should be Offensive Rookie of the Week. I can't wait to see if Joe Flacco can make Macaulay Culkin 0-3.
Garrett Wilson, parenthetically, the best player in the NFL. What else? How about in the big game down in Miami?
I tell you what, this is the class of the Titans right here. I mean, you talk about the fight for AFC East supremacy. You've got the hottest team in football coming in the Miami Dolphins with the explosive offense and, you know, the 4x1 team. But they're facing the Buffalo Bills team that don't give up the big plays. Can Tua find a different way? There's more ways to skin a cat. We're going to find out if Tua can skin a buffalo.
All right, so let me bring the guys in here and let's focus in on this game, because I don't know that we all had it circled before the season began. But Bills at Dolphins in week 3 shapes up to be one of the most interesting games of the early NFL season. The Dolphins are riding super high. Are you buying that they can stay that way and knock off the Bills?
No, I think the Bills are clearly the best team in the National Football League. Josh Allen is like playing out of his mind. The rapport he has with Stephon Diggs, this offense is clicking on all cylinders. And then on the defensive side of the football, like bringing over Von Miller, yeah, has just opened up like everything for everyone. There's a lot of guys getting one-on-one matchups, and they're creating havoc. So, listen, I love what Miami's doing. They're a high-flying team. They're very excited. But, man, that's Goliath they're going against in Buffalo.
All right, so I want to take everyone behind the scenes a little bit. As we were in a break, Ninko and Bart, you guys were talking about, yes, Miami had the huge explosive mm-hmm. plays, and give them credit. But that was a lot about what the defense didn't do. And, Ninko, I know you're going to show us what you mean.
Yeah, they just let the fastest receiver in the NFL run straight down the field, Tyreek Hill. Nobody touched him. Nobody – they were backpedaling. Tyreek is at a full sprint, and you're backpedaling. Let me show you right here. This is what you don't do. This is football 101 on defense. You don't just start a slow backpedal. Let Tyreek Hill run straight through the middle of your defense. Nobody's behind him. Nobody is there. So guess what? What does the quarterback do? Let me just throw the ball as far as I can. Let the fastest receiver in the NFL run for a touchdown untouched. Like, just look at this. Okay, let me show you another one. Let's just let him run down the field. Just run. Just go ahead. You run a 4.2, 40. Okay, great. I run like a 4.4. Yeah, you're going to beat me. Okay, let me just try and do that backpedaling. It's not going to work. So if you play the Dolphins, you know that, number one, you do not let that guy run untouched through the middle of your defense, or you will get hurt.
Yeah, but this is the issue, right? Because they have two of the fastest guys in football because Jalen Waddle is as well. So to counter to all that, if they put both of them on the same side, now you can't jam a slot receiver. Somebody's going to get the free release. But you have to be physical at the line of scrimmage, keep two safeties over the top, and bracket and double somebody else, and let Gaskinski beat you.
Or you tell the safety, whatever you do, don't let 10 get past you. Yeah. Because if you do that, it doesn't matter. You're going to –
I don't think they know how fast he is. Keep your eyes on your luggage.
Watch some tape. He's pretty fast.
I asked Dominique when he was in here the other day, our cornerback. I said, how would you handle that? He said, anything 20 yards and in, you can have.
Yeah.
You can have anything you want less than 20 yards. I'm not letting you get behind me. And so that was inexcusable. The point is it defendable? Can you stop? Because, look, they've got a really smart offensive coach over there, D. Wood.
Yeah.
So now he knows what's going to happen. Buffalo's going to have everybody playing off the safeties and everything else. Yeah. So what do the Dolphins do to counter that against this Buffalo team?
Well, listen, I think a lot of it, if Buffalo's saying you're not going to beat us deep, does Tua and company have enough patience?
Right.
That's going to be the thing. That's the thing with high-flying offenses. When you're used to scoring quick, fast, and hurry, when teams say, nope, we're not going to let you beat us deep, like Nico just showed, do you have the patience to put together 7, 8, 9, 10 play drives? That's going to be the question.
We saw it last year because, remember, last year Tyreek Hill was a member of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
And the offense struggled early on. It's because they were physical at the line of scrimmage, but they also had safeties deep. They had Mecole Hardman as well, who was another fast player. So it can be done, but will you have the discipline? And to do that, will you have the nerve to be able to stop the run in a light box? Because you have to put 7 to coverage. That means 6 in a box. You got to stop the run with a light box.
I really like the way you phrased that when you said – history is written by the winners. The fourth quarter of that game changed everything.
Yeah.
Because for three quarters, the Ravens looked like as good as anybody in the AFC. Lamar Jackson was having the best day of his career, and there were still questions about Tua. Then they go nuts because the fast guys get behind the defense left and right, and now the whole world is talking about Tua. Can they beat Buffalo Sunday?
I don't think they can beat Buffalo. I mean, there's always a fighter's chance. There's a puncher's chance of them making some type of turnover, and it's a one-possession game, and they make something of it. But this is what I was going to say defensively. Sometimes it takes more than just the cover guys. I'm talking defensive ends, pass rushers, to help out in coverage.
Yeah.
And we would do this in New England. So, yeah, of course, third and long, I want to get to the quarterback. I'm in my three-point stance. I'm trying to get – but if Tyreek Hill's right here, maybe I give him a little jam. Maybe I surprise him, and it only takes a little bit to slow you down enough to mess up the timing that it takes for the quarterback to make that throw.
And remember what Tua revealed to us last week. He said if he can, because he's not a taller quarterback, if he can't see, he can't throw the ball because he can't see you open. So now you distort his vision in the middle by running time games and crosses and U games in front to make sure that he never has windows to throw through.
Look, the Bills are on a short week on the road in the Miami, you know, South Florida Heat.
Undefeated.
If not now, when? I mean, if they're not going to lose this game, they're going to be awful tough to beat as the season goes on. Speaking of tough to beat, Aaron Rodgers hasn't beaten Tom Brady in 8 years. Will he get his revenge this weekend? One member of our crew has big concerns for the cheese in Green Bay. We will explain why. Plus, oh, no, Joe, say it ain't so. What the actual heck is happening in Cincinnati? Bart will tell you the big mistake Joe Cool is making over and over. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, getting set for week 3, which starts tonight. Let's play a game of more or less. Hey, D. Wood, Patrick Mahomes is going to have more or less than 2.5 passing touchdowns against the Colts.
Greeny, have you seen Patrick Mahomes play recently?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I'm going more. And listen, this is not even about Patrick Mahomes for me. This is about like how bad like the Colts are right now. The Colts are an absolute mess. Patrick Mahomes seems like he's having no problem with, you know, without Tyreek Hill and adjusting to these different playmakers that they have on offense.
Bart, speaking of Tyreek Hill, will he and Jaylen Waddle have a combined 143 receiving yards against Buffalo, more or less?
I'm going to go more, but slightly. I'm going to go more. I just don't know how you can bottle up these two explosive athletes. That's just 70 yards per. I mean, they went for 300 last year. This 143 would be looked at as a disappointing week for them. You know, so I'm going to go more, but just by a little bit.
In a game where the Bills figure to score points, maybe the over feels good there. Finally, Ninko, Aaron Rodgers against the Bucks, more or less than 1.5 passing touchdown?
I'm going to go less on this one. This is going to be a good old-fashioned defensive battle. You look at week 1, doesn't throw any touchdowns. Then week 2, he throws 2 against a terrible Bears team. So maybe he'll throw one touchdown. So I'm going to go less. I'm going to go with 1. I'll split the difference between week 1 and week 2.
Yeah, one of the 2 touchdowns he threw was that little forward flip to Aaron Jones.
It doesn't count.
This will be the 5th time these two legends go head-to-head, by the way, if you don't include golf. Box score-wise, Rodgers and Brady actually have similar numbers. But Tom, of course, has the advantage that matters the most in the win column. 3 wins, including 2 of them coming with Tampa in 2020, one of those in a playoff game. So, but Bart, you just turned to me and you just said, we were just in the break and we were setting up and you said to me, Packers going to win this game easily.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a defensive struggle because they have more ways in which they can win, right? Aaron Rodgers may not have great receivers, but these are the receivers that he knew he was going to be playing with this year. Tom Brady's happening to figure it out. You know, and you can give the ball to Leonard Fournette a lot of times. He has more carries, I believe, than anybody in the league. D. Wood told me that. But, you know, he's a guy that also will fumble the football. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't turn over the football. And Aaron Rodgers is a guy, even though you can rush him, that can buy time with his feet. And I think you'll eventually, you know, they'll get up by 2 scores and Tom will get desperate. And it'll be one of those games where we wonder, oh, this is the end of Tom Brady. But, you know, we know that that's a lie. He'll come back once he gets his weapons back. But I think Aaron Rodgers is just going to be too much.
Diana, what do you think of this one? It's a fascinating matchup. We looked at it from the Buccaneers side of it. How about Aaron's side of this thing? It's been an interesting start to his season.
Yeah, you know what we did before was we talked about all the injuries on the Bucs side. We never touched on the fact that Green Bay actually has some issues too, right? So we know David Bakhtiari, he didn't practice yesterday. Alan Lazard was limited. Randall Cobb didn't practice. Christian Watson was limited. Sammy Watkins was limited. And look, it's Wednesday. I know some of these guys are veterans and older. I understand that they take it light. But this isn't like the Green Bay Packers are walking in healthy here. They've got some issues on their side, on the offensive side of the ball as well for Aaron Rodgers. So while Bart just painted a great picture that Aaron Rodgers doesn't exactly have these elite weapons. Well, those sort of average weapons right now, they're not even helping.
That really is the question. Who are either of these guys going to throw to in this game? You want to see Rodgers and Brady. You want to see a shootout between two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. It certainly doesn't feel like it's shaping up to be that. How about the Packers side of this thing, D. Wood?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I worry about their offensive line. I mean, we talked about
Bingo.
They talked about David Bakhtiari. Like, they got problems up front on the offensive line. And so as much as we talk about Tampa Bay and who's not playing and their offensive line, Green Bay is dealing with a very similar situation. They got two good backs, but outside of that, who do they really have?
Well, they got their right tackle back, so that's a start. You know, but I, who can deal with having a bad offensive line better?
That really is one of the question marks. What was that look on your face?
We talked about the offensive line for the Packers week one when he was getting ping-ponged and just destroyed by the Vikings.
Rodgers, yeah.
So, yeah, Rodgers was having a hard time with the pass rush. So then you look at the Bucs. They have 10 sacks on the year. Six of those sacks come from blitzers coming off the edge, coming inside. So when you have, and you know this, a little bit of dysfunction in the offensive line, everything's about communication. Blitz pickup, especially, is about communication. Who do you got? Who do I got? Are we fanning? Are we like all those things that go into offensive line play is chemistry. I don't see the chemistry with the offensive line, especially with the injuries that the Packers are having. So that combined with the pressure that the Bucs can bring, I think it's going to be a long night for Aaron Rodgers.
Which of these quarterbacks, if either, makes the big mistake in this game? Neither of them, of course, historically are prone to do it. Could be a very low-scoring game. Meanwhile, we got some teams in the AFC that are really struggling. The game here is panic or patience. D. Wood, the Las Vegas Raiders winless. Panic or patience?
Panic. I'm panic. Listen, when you talk about the Raiders, a couple things here. Number one, they don't know how to finish games. And then number two, this is a heavily penalized team. Like, you can't expect in a division that you're playing in the conference that you're in, that you're going to be able to win football games that way. They got to get those things straightened out fast.
Raiders committing penalties. At least we know there's something in life we can count on. Ninko, the Colts have been awful. Panic or patience?
Panic. I'm panicked. Listen, what happened to the Colts? We thought Matt Ryan was the answer. We thought that was going to be the answer for them to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Then they tie week one, and then they don't score a point week two against the Jaguars? Panic. I'm panicked.
Yes.
I'm in Indiana. I'm panicked.
If he's the answer, I don't want to know what the question was. Bart, Cincinnati Bengals panic or patience?
Panic. Listen, they invested heavily in that offensive line, and they are still getting pressure on Joe Burrow at a record pace, 13 sacks already. He's burping the baby a little bit too much. A little bit of stat is on him. He's a victim of his own success. When you go to the Super Bowl, you get the attention of defensive coordinators. They have figured out the Vinci Cole of how to stop Macaulay Culkin. He's home alone, Greeny.
He does look a little like him. Anyway, here's the good news. We actually asked Joe Burrow the same question, panic or patience. Here's what he said.
Everyone is frustrated, but like I said, we're not panicking. Two games in, we got 15 games left. It's all just take a deep breath and relax. We're going to be fine. We're not worried about it.
Okay. That's the right thing for him to say in front of everybody up there. He knows how to play that game. Then we get on the field and there have been troubles. Diana, what are you hearing?
Yeah, so I got this game on Sunday at MetLife Stadium, actually, right? So you got this 0-2 Bengals team, which we see the quarterback getting hit at record numbers. If this continues, he's going to get sacked over 100 times by the end of the season. So they're going to make some changes. They got to add to the run game. That's where you're really going to start to see a little bit of a difference. Look, you don't have to be an expert to know that Joe Burrow's got to get the ball out a little bit faster. But it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to use tight ends and running backs in the protection here to give some relief there. Because, guys, we know they've got four different offensive linemen that are starting this year. And they're still trying to figure it out. And we're just watching it with our own eyes, and they're going up against this Jets defense that you know they are going to want to eat on Sunday against them. And I can tell you, they've got a game plan in place ready to take advantage of it.
All right, we will see how they do. But, Bart, you and I are about to do something. We're going to go a little bit next level here because it is all well and good for everyone to watch these games and say, oh, Joe Burrow's getting sacked a lot. Obviously, the offensive line is playing badly. Well, hold everything. There's actually more to the story. If you look at the win rate of the blocking, if you look at how the offensive line are actually performing, it's basically average. It's exactly the same as Patrick Mahomes' offensive line is performing. Mahomes has been sacked once. Burrow has been sacked 13 times. Bart, some of this is on the quarterback himself.
A lot of this is on the quarterback. I mean, I think he's trying to go to the well too often. He's trying to get the big play. He's featuring Jamar Chase too much, right? We saw in that graphic that Jamar Chase has 25 targets and everybody else has 63. You have to understand, when you go to the Super Bowl, they watch the film about how you got defended in the Super Bowl, especially when you lose. They're playing cover too. So, you know, Diana, you're spot on when you talk about it has to be Hayden Hurst and it has to be Mixon. That's where the offense has to go because they're stopping you with a seven-man box, and now they're getting hands at the line of scrimmage, and you have seven people in coverage. So if you keep the tight end in, if you keep the running back in, that's three people in a route with seven people, you know, defending the pass. That's going to make you hold on to the ball, and eventually the protection's always going to break down. So they have to run the ball in the light box. They have to be patient, the same way that Patrick Mahomes had to be patient last year when teams were doing it. And what did he do? It was quick screens. It was featuring the back in option routes and also the tight end up the middle of the field. That's how you defeat cover two. That's what they're going to have to do if they want to have some success. Can he be patient? I don't know.
And the point, D-Wood, is sometimes we look at sacks and immediately say that's an offensive line statistic, but it's really not necessarily true. Frequently, it's a quarterback statistic as well. Is that the case from what you're looking at? What are you seeing in that struggle in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to let the offensive line off the hook because there's been some issues there, but Bart is absolutely right. It is on the quarterback. It's not – protection is more than just offensive line. It's receivers getting open. It's the quarterback getting the ball out of his hand. And Joe Burrow is holding on to the ball too much, and that's creating these sacks, these pressures. And guess what? Joe Burrow can sit up there in the press conference and say, oh, you know, we're fine, we're everything going to be – you fall to 0-3. There's been only one team in the last 20 years to make the postseason after going 0-3. Better have some fire coming into MetLife.
Defensively, when we would go against a team and the quarterback was watching the rush, we knew we had him. And we knew we had when the quarterback starts to look at the rush and isn't evaluating the field, that's when there's problems. So if you look at some of these plays, he's looking down the field, then he's looking at the rush in front of him and trying to find a spot to jump around, then looking down the field. That's too long. It takes too much time. And you also have to understand, Joe Burrow started his career with an ACL tear being hit in the pocket.
Yeah.
Then he comes back, they have a great season, and then now he's getting hit again too much. So you look at the amount of hits that he's taken, you start to become a little shell-shocked, and you speed up your timing with, I need to get the ball out. Well, and then you start forcing balls where they shouldn't be, and you start pushing it to one player because you're more confident in that guy, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. They have to win this game. They have to, especially in the AFC. If they go 0-3, that's a big problem.
You add to all of those all the time he missed in training camp with the appendix. It's a tough start for Cincinnati, but as he said, it's a long season. We'll see if they can get it back together. In the meantime, the U.S. men's national team has two more friendlies before the start of the World Cup. They'll play the first one tomorrow morning against Japan. Coverage starts 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and on ESPN+. Coming up, it's a Monday night showdown in New York. The Cowboys about to get a big piece of their puzzle back in the lineup. Does the D in Big D stand for dangerous? We're talking about it. Get up on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Malika Andrews, and we have a very special guest joining us today, NBA Today, 3 o'clock Eastern. Guess who it is? Mr. Luka Doncic.
Don't miss the show today.
We will make sure that no one does. Thank you, Luka.
All right, looking forward to that. Meanwhile, let's look forward to the weekend. What happens, D-Wood, if the Bengals lose to the Jets and fall to 0-3?
It's over. It's done. Green, I said it in the last block. There's only been one team in the last 20 years to make the playoff. One. You fall 0-3, you're basically going fishing after the season's over.
The one thing they may have going for them is the division is off to a slow start, but I hear you. Next, Nico, what if Baker Mayfield loses and he goes to 0-3?
They'll be right where I thought they were going to be, 0-3, before the season started. Everyone's, oh, Baker's going to take this team to the playoffs. What? I was there in training camp watching them play the Patriots. No, they're not going to the playoffs. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're 0-3.
Ooh, could cost.
Bart Scott, let's go the other side. Let's be positive for a minute. What happens if the Giants beat the Cowboys and get to 3-0?
They will march up Fifth Avenue. You know we can't handle success around here. We're going to have a grand party. Danny Dimes, Dayball, Wink Martindale. Listen, they're going to be – they might be immortalized. They might put a statue up for them if the Giants go 0-3. They go 3-0.
I'll say this. I hope they march down Fifth Avenue because the traffic goes south on that. And it would be confusing if they're going the other way. In the meantime, the Cowboys may have some good news, and it's sneaky big news. Wide receiver Michael Gallup is gearing up to make his season debut this Monday in that game against the Giants. Gallup is coming back from a torn ACL. He will take four reps this week in practice, so he may come back. Now, Diana, we began the show with your bold prediction that the Giants are going to win. The conversations are going to have to change. Every year there are teams that come along and are just way better than we expected them to be. If the Giants win Monday night, it's going to be impossible not to say that of them. Give us your thoughts on this game as they prepare to host Dallas on Monday night.
Well, obviously, lately I've been getting very little sleep with all these bold predictions that the New York teams are going to be winning all of September. But look, the thing is, there's some reality to this, right? Because I've already seen a change in this Giants team from top to bottom with Joe Shane at GM, Brian Daboll. I can't say enough about the impact that they've had on these players. I talked to Leonard Williams last week. Just give me a quick reason why Daboll's making you guys better. He said he holds us accountable, but this is the loosest I've ever played in my career. I'm not afraid to make mistakes. He's like, you don't understand how that helps us play better as a team when we're not scared to make the mistake, because then we're just leaning on our ability, our knowledge, our preparation. So collectively, this team is finding ways to win. And when I spoke to Coach Daboll about it, he says it's all about the preparation that they're doing during the week in the meeting rooms at practice. It wasn't a pat on the back like, look, I'm leading this team the right way. He just says their practices have been premier all of September, and he says he's seeing the results on Sunday.
All right, so the Giants off to a surprisingly good start. Now, the one thing that I sometimes hear from people is we don't talk enough about the Cowboys on this show, so let's dive a little bit into their side of this for a moment here. And I'm not the kind of person who likes to say I told you so. I'm the kind of person who loves to say I told you so. So, D. Wood, when the world was burying the Cowboys last week and you were giving them a big thumbs down, I was saying to everybody, slow down. They're not nearly as bad as we are painting them to be. They just need to tread water. How do you feel about the Dallas Cowboys now after a win that surprised a lot of people against Cincinnati?
First of all, I'm eating crow right now. I mean, I was the one, you know, parading, saying that the Dallas Cowboys are done, and clearly that's not the case. I think when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, the fact that I think they're playing complementary football. Like, that's what when I watch them, that's what they're doing. Defensively, they're getting after people. Mm-hmm. You know, I said many a time, Michael Parsons to me is like the closest thing to LT that we're seeing today in today's game. Mm-hmm. He's that type of force on the defensive side of the football. And I think Cooper Rush and company is doing enough. They don't have to be, you know, they don't have to be jerking out. They're just doing enough. Enough complimentary football can win you football games. And I think against the New York Giants, I think Dallas Cowboys can pull it out again.
Now, Bart looks skeptical. Now, maybe that's just your natural expression, but you look skeptical to me about my Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, because we have to consider the opponent. I mean, they just went against a team that we think is reeling, that think that they can go 0-3 as
well. We think they're reeling because the Cowboys beat them. The Bengals should have beaten the Steelers week one easily, and they were in the Super Bowl their game before that, so let's not talk about them like they just beat nobody, and they did it without their starting quarterback.
They faced a team last week that's trying to find their identity, right? Like I say all the time, success isn't owned, it's leased, and rent's due every single day. And right now, the Bengals are paying their rent. But, you know, we're talking about in a couple of weeks, they got to play the Philadelphia Eagles and they have to play the defending Super Bowl champions. If they're able to be above 500 after then maybe I'll buy a little stock in the Dallas Cowboys. But I'm not ready to buy stock in them right now. I mean, if they come back and they lose on Monday night in a hostile environment in MetLife Stadium, I think we go right back to the narrative that, hey, maybe next year is the year. And you look at that schedule, that Lions game isn't going to be an easy win anymore. So you can take that 65% and erase that one. You know, but, you know, you look at, you know, the Rams and the Eagles, and if they lose to the Giants, then that's a recipe for, okay, let's get ready for the draft.
Well, look, the bottom line of it, the other side of that, Ninko, is if they win two of those games before they get Dak back, and between the Giants, the Lions, the Bears, and the Commanders, you can find two wins on that schedule. They could be right there when these teams come back. So I asked everyone for their picks. I haven't seen them yet. Let's see what everybody thinks about Monday night. Go ahead, Chrissy, put them up there. Ooh. We got a lot. Only D. Wood is with me on the Cowboys pick this week. Ninko, give me a thought.
You look at New York right now, they're playing with a lot of confidence. And how do you slow down a pass rush? You run the football. And I think New York has that ability to run the football. They have a big-time running back, strong, physical, playing with a chip on his shoulder, confident, a head coach that has that whole team playing at a high level. Playing fast, so I'm going with New York, even though a whole region where I live is not happy with that pick.
Well, I will say this. I mean, in New York right now, they're excited about the Giants and they're excited about the Jets, but all that is getting buried under what? Aaron Judge. Did you see it last night?
Rise.
Here we go. All rise for Judge and the Yankees. Chasing history, taking on the lowly Pirates. Judge, as you know, started the day with 60 home runs. He leads off the game for the Yankees with Roger Maris's family in attendance. First pitch he sees in the first inning, and he ropes it up the left field line for a double. Not a home run, but the batting average continues to rise. Remember, he's chasing the Triple Crown. He would double twice on the night. Later in the inning, still no score. Base is juiced with two outs for Oswaldo Cabrera. Who brings the juicer? That one is way gone. The Yankees lead it 4-0. By the way, they're the first team ever to hit a grand slam in the first inning after ending their previous game with a grand slam. Now we go bottom eight. Yanks up 6-2. Torres at the plate. That's Gleyber Torres. He hits a solo homer under right, his 22nd of the season. Yanks leading 7-2. In a minute, you'll see why that was important. Later in the inning, Yankees are now up 11-2. Judge. Again, another chance. The fans are there. They walked him on four pitches, three changeups and a curveball. That was a disgrace, candidly, but for a team that was losing by 9 runs. And all the fans are going home. Among the many things they deserve is for Torres to then hit another home run in the inning, and he did. A 3-run shot, his second of the inning. He's the first Yankee since A-Rod in 2009 with 2 home runs in an inning. Yankees win it by a score of 14-2. The Pirates, a team that's 40 games under 500, walked Aaron Judge last night in the 8th inning. So we have to wait another day for Judge to catch Roger Maris. But again, the Triple Crown, a very real possibility. Currently, even money at Caesars Sportsbook. The batting title is the closest category. He leads Xander Bogaerts by 0.4 of a point. In other news, Celtics coach Ime Udoka is facing a significant suspension for his role in a consensual, intimate relationship with a woman who is a member of the franchise's staff. Sources tell our Adrian Wojnarowski that the relationship was considered a violation of the organization's guidelines. The length of the suspension could be announced today. It could last the entire season. Sources tell ESPN it is not believed that Udoka's job is in jeopardy. We'll continue in a moment here on Get Up, a pressure-packed Thursday throwdown. Can Mitch Trubisky save his job tonight against his arch rivals, or could this be his last stand? We're talking about it next. Get Up on ESPN.